think if you're true Packer fans, you understand.
Hell yeah, I like to hit them. All these damn practices out here and they didn't let us hit them. I want to get a nice little shot on you, Brett. I said it. Put it on the bulletin board.
Well, our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants Live, brought to you by Cheesehead Nation. I'm Aaron Nagler, and of course, I'm here with a true Packers fan, Mr. Corey Banky.
Tonight, we'll be talking to wide receiver Jerron Harris, Packers radio play-by-play man Wayne Larrivee.
But let's start with Jerron Harris. Jerron, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you so much for holding while we had our extended intro this week. I don't know if you've heard of this guy. He used to play quarterback for the Packers. We'll be talking about him later in the show, but right now we want to focus on you. Jerron Harris, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good this evening. How are you?
I'm excellent. It's always an honor to be talking to a real-life Green Bay Packer. I got to tell you, it's a real honor.
Yes,
thank you so much for joining us tonight. First of all, how's camp going? How's the injury? I know you sat out yesterday. What's the prognosis? How long are they saying you're going to be out? And do you think we'll see you this weekend?
First of all, camp is going pretty well. I'm picking up the playbook pretty well and just making every rep count out there. And, yeah, I strained my groin a little bit on Monday. And I was out yesterday, as you said. And today we have a day off. So then I'm going to actually try to test it tomorrow and see how that goes.
Very good, very good. You know, I guess I'll dive right in with the Cleveland game. You saw a bit of action. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the shot you had. Brian Brohm threw a little high, ball went off your hands. Was that a miscommunication? Was he high on the throw? Was the break earlier late? Was there any communication between you and Brian after the play?
It was more communication between me and my position coach than me and Brian, but the route depth was okay. It was a hook route, and he threw it kind of high and outside more than I expected, but I mean, I still need to make that adjustment and bring that in. So it was, I don't know, a crazy moment for me for my first game.
I don't
first
doubt
play
it.
In, getting past you, and had to make it count.
Well, you know, there's no doubt about your athleticism and your ability. I mean, I think you were a returner, a kickoff returner, a very, very successful one for 4 years in college. Have the Packers looked at you at all there?
I have caught a couple balls, you know, at the end of practice just doing kickoff return stuff, but I haven't been in there with the kickoff return team yet because the ones and twos are just learning the schemes right now, and I hope to get thrown in there, you know, next week or the week after, so maybe get a couple reps during the games even.
Definitely. I think I read somewhere that you were a Packer fan growing up. When you were at South Dakota State playing places like, I think it was UW La Crosse and things like that, did you ever run into fellow Packer fans that were across the way?
Yeah, I mean, in South Dakota, there's quite a variety of who people like in the NFL, and yeah, I was a Packer fan growing up because my mom was a huge Vikings fan,
So
I just kind of like to, you know, butt heads with her whenever they played. And
so, have you spoken to your mom? Have you spoken to your mom about Brett joining the Vikings?
No, I haven't even talked to her yet about that. Just a crazy situation, I guess.
Here's a question, and a no comment is absolutely expected, and we wouldn't be insulted, but did the team at all, the PR staff, bring down a set of talking points in regards to Favre once the news broke that he was signing with the Vikings?
No, they actually didn't, you know, tell us what to say or anything like that. They just told us, you know, right after practice that it was happening, that Brett was, you know, going to get picked up and be brought in and everything. So they just told us to be ready for the media because, you know, they were probably going to ask us about it.
Getting back to this year, this season, I mean, this has got to be incredibly exciting for you, obviously. What made you say yes to the Packers' offer other than, you know, obviously the dream is to play professional football, but you're coming to a team that has a very deep receiving core. You know, obviously, you're probably looking to catch on, get on the practice squad, maybe make the top five or six there if you can turn some heads. What was it, you know, what was the communication like? Did the Packers approach your agent right away, right after the draft? What was that whole process like?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were talking to my agent pretty much like in the fourth round on, just saying, you know, we really like Deron and we want to have him here after the draft. And there was a couple other teams that were calling me, but my agent was saying that the Packers, you know, they didn't draft a wideout this year, so that was a big reason why he thought, you know, it'd be the best opportunity for me here.
Well, that's excellent. Obviously, you're playing to a group of diehards here, so, you know, we love every bit of information we can get from anybody on the squad, and it, like I said, it's just an absolute honor to talk to you. Thinking about, you know, going forward in camp, you know, you've got, like, probably two, maybe three games left to try really impress the coaches, turn some heads, like I said. What do you think, or what have other receivers, maybe like a Greg Jennings or a Donald Driver, told you is the best thing that you can focus on? Have you gone to those guys for advice? Or have you kind of just kept to yourself and tried to, you know, keep your head down and work on what you're working on? Or has there been a lot of feedback between you and the other receivers?
You know, mostly I just kind of keep to myself, but I listen whenever they talk. You know, I try to gather as much information as I can and just learning about their experience here when they first came in and what they did to get better and to turn some heads. So
right.
Just working on making every rep count out there.
You know, last week we had Dane Randolph on the program. And he listed in his bio, as you do in yours, video games as a favorite pastime. And as we asked Dane, I got to ask every guest, what games and on what system?
Well, I have a PS3, and I really like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Or Modern Warfare. That's yep. A pretty good game.
And, that's, you know, Corey's favorite.
Madden, of course.
Oh,
there
yeah.
You go. Have you got a chance? I mean, Dane told us there were no TVs in the dorm, but we know for a fact that Barnett's got one. Has there been any Madden playing going on in the dorms during camp?
Well, there hasn't been in my room at all. although I do have a small TV. My wife and family brought me up a small one. So that's been great.
Wonderful.
But no video games for me. But, yeah, there's some guys that you can hear, you know, down the hall battling in there, and it's a good time.
Very good.
What's it like to play yourself? What's
well,
that like?
I don't know. I haven't played the new one yet, and I don't know if I'm on there. I'm probably not even on there.
We're putting you on there, buddy.
Yeah, we'll make it, and we'll update
Cheesehead
it.
Cheesehead Nation is going to upload a Deron Harris.
Definitely.
Right onto it. Don't you worry. We'll hack the EA servers, and you'll be on there if you're not. Most definitely. Speaking of, you know, the camp and practices and going against guys and getting as much out of each rep as you can. What is there a defensive back that you've faced in camp that perhaps the media doesn't focus on a whole lot, but that you think is, you know, is actually showing a lot and pretty good and pretty tough to beat? Or can you smoke them all?
Yeah, you know, besides the big name guys, I'd say Joe Porter, number 40, he's doing pretty good. He was on their practice squad last year. And he's a pretty big, strong guy. And if he gets his hands on you, it's hard to get away.
Very good. Very good. So let's fast forward, say, you know, 8, 10 weeks into the season, you've made the Packers practice squad, let's say. And then, you know, you get a call from a team like the Jets or the Dolphins, some wide receiver needy team that wants to sign you, do you jump right away, or do you have second thoughts about sticking around and sticking with the Pack? Be honest.
That's a hard question, man.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't jump right away. I'd have to talk things over with, you know, my agent, my family, my wife, and see, you know, where we are. And I don't know, I guess we'll discuss that when it happens, hopefully, if it happens later on.
Very good. I know they, you know, you're sequestered in the dorm, so to speak, but is your wife in Wisconsin, or is she back in South Dakota?
Yep, she is back in South Dakota, just working there and getting the packing done, and hopefully move out here.
Nice.
Yeah. Towards the beginning of September. So.
And what did she? How did she find out that you had signed on with the Packers?
How did she find out?
Yeah. How did you break the news to her? Did she see it somewhere? Did she read about it, or did you surprise her with the news?
Oh no! Me and my family—we were all in South Dakota at my parents' house, and so my whole family was there, and I got the call, and everyone was all happy and cheering, and
that's
it was
great.
A good time. So everyone found out right then, Sunday night. So
that's fantastic. Well, Jerron, you know, like I said, you got diehards here. We couldn't be happier for you. We'll be pulling for you. Hopefully, there'll be many more celebrations in your future. Jeez, yeah, as well as the others have found out who have come on the show, you get the Cheesehead Nation bump when you come on.
Let's hope.
You will.
I want it for him.
Yes.
Definitely.
Jerron, it's in the cards. You are now, you're going to officially receive the Cheesehead Nation bump. You're going to shine at practice. You're going to turn some heads. And you can thank us when you're on ESPN.
All right.
Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Jerron.
Yeah, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jerron Harris.
Jerron Harris in the house. Sorry, guys, if I didn't get to some of your questions. I was reading them as they came up. Brian was feeding me some on Skype. But Jerron Harris, yet another Packer joining us. Good evening,
wow.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening. Let's talk about something that we offered this week that is brand new.
Absolutely. Yes,
Brian Caravu, play-by-play. Who would have thought, okay?
Who would have thunk it?
I think Brian secretly... Okay, so in high school, I was a spotter for the PA guy, right? So in high school football, so I was a spotter. I would get the guys. I'd know what number they were. I'd
sure.
tell the PA announcer, and he'd you know. And
right.
then I was the PA announcer for 1 year, and then I left.
Nice.
Well, Brian, secretly, he was the PA play-by-play. I know he was.
The Packers, Saturday night, how happy... You got to be watching that game. I mean,
it's true.
Not only does the offense go out and the starting O go out and put two touchdowns on the board, one passing and one running, but the defense, Dom Capers. It's funny though, because I read a lot about how people were saying, like, oh, look at all the blitzes he brought. Guys, he brought like three blitzes the whole game. He kept running the cross blitz in the middle, like over and over and over again. And speaking of that blitz, I want to point out something. Danny Lansana. Who has gotten very, very, you know, bad rep, both here and other places across the blogosphere, was fantastic on that blitz. Lansana would set that blitz up, and he got no credit. Bishop was getting all the headlines because he was getting in there, getting the sacks, getting the hits. But Lansana would get in there, get the center on his heels, do this move that was just ridiculous, and then drive the center exactly where he needed to go so Bishop could fly in. No one noticed this. But I did, and Danny, great job.
I'm just going to say that was a preseason game.
It was indeed. But let me just point out, that was the starting center for the Cleveland Browns that he went against. That's all I'm going to say. They produced
That's not all you're going to say.
They produced a pretty good quarterback a couple years ago when Anderson was throwing for like almost 4,000 yards.
That was so long ago, and now...
It was two seasons ago.
Okay, this is how bad the Cleveland Browns are.
Yeah, I agree with all this.
Okay, they're
Whatever
so bad that every fan I know of the Cleveland Browns doesn't even reply when I talk crap about them.
Yeah, that's true.
Your team's bad when you're not replying.
We're in a fantasy league with a guy who's a huge Cleveland Browns fan.
I forgot. I didn't get to tweet him. I'm going to.
And Matt, he's just given up already. After one preseason game, he's over. He's like, this is going to be the height of comedy this year. So that's where Brown fans are at. So think of that, Packer fans. It could be a whole heck of a lot worse.
Hey, 17-0 is nice. You know how Packer fans are. They you know, it's like, okay, yeah, we should have went 17-0. That's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, right. Wait, are you insinuating that we're going to go 17-0 this year?
No,
or
I mean
just
in the game.
17-0 in the game.
Right.
I'm just making sure.
I mean, we
Because I'd like to go 19-0. But you know,
that
would be the best. Best. I'm just talking here. Other things from the game that really jumped out at me, like I wrote in the blog, Sitton not making the decision easy for the coaches. You want Spitz, Sitton, and probably Barber, though Giacomini apparently is making some noise. To just come in there, win those jobs, and let's get going. All this lip service about the continuity. We've gone through a couple weeks of camp, one preseason game, getting set for our next preseason game, and they're still dilly-dallying around with the offensive line. Your favorite subject.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know they're going to do that. They've done it every year for the last 2 years, so that's what they're going to do. They're going to say we want continuity, and then they're going to have a competition for four games in
the
season.
Well, to be fair, they did state, McCarthy stated before camp started that he was going to do it by the third preseason game.
Yeah, well, so I'll believe it.
So the guys would have, you know,
when
a week
I
or two.
See it,
I know.
I'll believe it.
I hear you. I'm just saying. See? I threw that in there for you. What other things jumped out at us Saturday night? Oh, Brian Brohm.
Two things. I don't want to talk about Brian Brohm because he sucks.
Okay.
Two things. Sorry.
Andrew in Atlanta said it best. He is snake bit.
He's terrible.
That kid is snake bit.
The two biggest things that jumped out at me, and I said this in the live blog, one, Anthony Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Two,
mm-hmm.
Desmond Bishop.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that game. Because that was ridiculous. Oh, and Tremont Williams.
Let me get
an interception.
Why not?
That's what I do.
I'm just Tremont Williams. Oh, and speaking of Tremont Williams, go back. If you get a chance, ladies and gentlemen, go back and watch his interception after the interception. It is the greatest body language you've ever seen in your life.
I don't think I have that.
It's not on the highlight.
It's
not on the highlight package.
Dang it.
But he picks it off. He gets up, and he's just like, yeah, that's what I do.
It was a fly ball.
It totally was, but it was cool. He picked it off.
Yeah.
Nick Collins would have had it in his hands and dropped it.
Al Harris would have caught it.
Ooh, there we go. Al Harris.
I like Tremont Williams, okay? But, hey, having a great nickelback is cool. He doesn't, you know, Al Harris has earned the right to be the starter, you know, on the side.
Corey, in case you guys don't know, which I'm sure you all do, but in case you don't know, Corey's referencing a lot of the
Chatter
today in the blogosphere. Bob McGinn in particular pointing out that Al Harris doesn't have an interception so far in camp.
Even before that, there was like blogosphere chatter. I swear Bob McGinn reads the blogosphere because like 4 days ago, I think Triple D had a post about it. Like a lot of people recently have had Al Harris...
Al Harris hating?
Yeah.
No.
Not liking it.
Like I wrote on the blog today, Al Harris, he doesn't have interceptions and big plays because quarterbacks drop back. They look at Al Harris's guy or in his zone, and they go, oh, that's covered.
But then
they go other places.
Right. But also, he does make big plays. I'll tell you one of the biggest plays he made, they got a poster out of.
I know.
It's a poster in the tunnel of Lambeau Field.
Right.
The man in overtime. We want the ball and we're going to score. I need to have that on permanent play on here because that is a brilliant play. That is a classic dagger. I think he says the dagger. I think Larrabee says the dagger three times in that game. He says it in overtime and he says it like in the third quarter and the fourth quarter.
I'm not going to mention our next guest's name until he's on the phone. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, he's a figment of Brian Caravu's imagination.
I think so. I think Brian's emailing with himself.
Yeah.
And just saying that Wayne Larrabee's going to be on the phone. Oh, I said his name.
He's like...
Larrabee!
Yeah, you missed it in the intro.
I know. I was too frazzled.
You're not...
I'm not on point.
We're so smooth now with our intros.
the rumor is Wayne Larrabee will be on the phone. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are live with Wayne Larrabee, the play-by-play voice of the Packer Radio Network. Good evening, Wayne. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks very, very much for joining us this evening.
Wayne Larrabee and Cheesehead Nation. All right.
Wayne, how are you tonight? What are you up to?
Me? I'm just home from training camp.
Very good, very good. Do you go every day? That's something I've been asked 100 times, and I don't know the answer to. So straight from the horse's mouth, do you attend every practice, or are you there on certain days, or do you have any limits to your access? What's the story there?
I was there for 2 full weeks, the first 2 full weeks of camp, and now I'll go periodically here and there during the week.
Very good.
Very good.
Speaking of scheduling and things of that nature, I think one of our readers was interested in your, I guess your routine during the season. Do you travel with the team? When do you leave for away games? And what's your schedule like when they're not playing at Lambeau?
Well, I do the telecast on the Big Ten Network in college football, so. Usually I head out on Friday mornings to a college game, and we do our production day on Friday, and then we the game on Saturday, and then I fly to wherever the Packers are Saturday night. So that's kind of, and then, you know, I might travel with the team back home, but generally, you know, it's off and on whether I travel with the team or not. It usually depends on what I've got going around the game.
Very good. Very good. Going back to when you first, you know, came on the scene, I guess, as the Packers play-by-play guy, obviously you had a very long, illustrious career doing play-by-play for a lot of different teams, sports, what have you. When you came on board, I know there, you know, there was obviously the transition between, you know, Jim Irwin and Max McGee over to yourself and Larry McCarron. What was that like? Did you talk to them a lot? Was it awkward at all, or was it really really smooth? Take us behind the scenes there a little bit, because I think a lot of Packer fans are really interested in that part of Packer history, I guess you'd call it.
No, it wasn't awkward. I mean, Jim and Max decided to retire, so, you know, that's kind of the way it was, you know, handled. I mean, Larry and I did not move them out, so I think that was all pretty much understood. And Jim is a friend of mine and has been for a long time, so we knew each other along the way, and that was smooth there for the most part, because I would never, you know, get involved with a job that somebody else held. That's just not right, and that wasn't how this one was handled at all. Those two guys decided they were going to retire. It was announced a year in advance, and you know, then the job was open, and Jim, you know, asked me if I would be interested, and I said, yeah, I'd be interested in that job.
no doubt, right? Speaking of things that just aren't right, what's your take on the old Packer quarterback there signing with the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, you know, it's funny. I haven't been asked that in the last 5 minutes. So,
no, come on, Wayne. You come on a show like this, you're going to get nothing but processed answers and questions, my friend.
Well, you know, I mean, I understand where Brett's coming from, but I also understand, and I understand the business of the matter. But as a fan, it just is really something that that kind of turns at you a little bit. As a fan, I just don't like it at all. As a business person, I understand it. I understand where everybody's coming from. I know this. Players are loyal to the team they're working for at that time. And, you know, we fans are loyal to the team on and on for all of our lives. If you're a real fan, you root for one team your whole life, the whole team you either grew up with or whatever. But with players, yeah, I mean, they certainly, especially when they spend a long time with a team, yeah, they feel a part of it, part of the fabric, and they are, and there's no doubt about that. But to them, it's a business. And, you know, Brett Favre didn't grow up a Green Bay Packer fan, and so I guess he doesn't have the same feelings about that whole situation as we who have watched the Packers all of our lives and will for the remainder of our lives feel about, you know, him moving on to Minnesota. It's a business move for the players. The fans take the, I guess, passion route a little bit more.
Sure, sure. Speaking of things you've probably been asked 100 times in the last 5 minutes, I would be completely remiss if I didn't ask you the by far and away number one question that I've received this week from Cheesehead TV readers, which is, how did you come up with the dagger? Was that something you had thought about, or did it just pop in one day and you kept it?
You know, it's funny. That's a term that we've used in basketball. When, you know, you got a back-and-forth game down the stretch, and then somebody with about, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds ago hits a three-point shot that just makes it a six-point game or whatever, a two- or three-possession game. And you know at that point the game is over. You know, we'll say that occasionally in basketball, but it came out. Gosh, I don't know what the year was. The Baltimore Ravens were in Green Bay, and they were the defending Super Bowl champs. And
that's right. I remember it.
Packers, I can't remember the year. Was it 2002 or something like that? Anyway,
yeah. No, it was 2003. That was the year they went. The year they lost to the Eagles in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Packers, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, Baltimore was in Green Bay, and it was a big game back and forth, and Brett hit a touchdown pass. I think it might have been to Bubba Franks or somebody like that, and it gave the Packers, I think, a 10-point lead at that point. And I just had the feeling there was no way Baltimore was coming back. The Packers had this game, and I don't know, there might have been 5 or 6 minutes left or something like that, and I said something about it, and there's the dagger. And it kind of stuck after that, and when I don't use it on occasion, and when the Packers win, people call in and ask about, well, where was the dagger this week, you know?
I have a question. Do you have to stop yourself, like, in the second quarter from accidentally saying that was the dagger? Like, you're watching a basketball game, sorry.
Like, if the Packers build a big lead, do you ever want to pull it out too early?
Oh, yeah. I do it when I feel the game is done, when the Packers have it in hand, when it's not, when there isn't going to be a change. I recall in Chicago, New Year's Eve, a few years ago, the Packers, Nick Collins returned an interception for a touchdown early in the third quarter. The Packers had a pretty substantial lead, and at that point I just knew the Bears were dead, and so I threw the dagger right there and early in the third quarter. Somebody said, well, you know, we were listening as we were driving to this New Year's Eve party, and I felt like I'd get out of the car and go to the party because you had thrown the dagger, and I knew the Packers had the game. So.
I feel like there's some times, though, you've thrown the dagger early.
Have you ever regretted
it? That way, but I throw, number one, there have been times when it's been close and somebody's gotten up off the turf, but whenever I've said it, I've never had the opposing team come back to win.
That
ever.
Is true.
Wow.
I actually, Wayne, this is how pathetic I am. I actually looked at that, and you're right. You've never not called the dagger
That's
correctly.
That's amazing.
And that is pretty amazing.
That's freaking amazing.
It is, absolutely. Wayne, we know you're busy. We know you're doing a ton of stuff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And good luck this year. We'll be listening like diehards every week. We love what you do. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, guys. Have a great season. Thank you. Hopefully the Packers will have a tremendous season as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go Pack. Thanks, Wayne.
Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, he answered the phone!
Holy cow! Did they even do a poll? Did people say yes or no?
I think
he actually was watching our show, too. Did you hear that in the background?
No.
It was!
No.
It was like the background. It was like, you know when you're on the radio and you have to turn it down?
He wasn't watching.
Yeah, I could hear it.
He's doing something else.
he was watching
like Law and Order
or
something.
Okay, why can't you let me...
have your dream?
...live in my fantasy world? I don't understand.
Oh,
why you got to shut me down like that?
I'm a hater. That's what I do. I play a hate. No, I don't.
Okay.
Wayne Larrivee. I never... Now it's a joyous... It's my barbaric yelp now, rather than my curse.
I swear I thought there was a time he threw the dagger early.
He's thrown it early several times. Last year, he threw it like twice in one game before it was like over.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's thrown it early, but he's never been wrong.
Yeah.
Every time he's said the word dagger,
that's pretty good.
The Packers have won. That's insane.
That's pretty good. If I were the announcer,
there'd be daggers all over the field.
I would have thrown the dagger in the first quarter and just totally got burned. Sweating the whole time.
Like the NFC Championship, when Driver went 90 yards, you would have been like,
that's
the
dagger.
Oh,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no.
No. And then I would have been fired.
Oh, that would have been a good question for Wayne. Have you ever been threatened to be fired for the dagger? You know.
I doubt it.
Whatnot.
Now it's a signature, so.
Yeah, it's absolutely great. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Larrivee just joined us. Thought it would never happen, but it did. We'll get back to the present Packer team and a little bit more about the Cleveland game. We're throwing stuff interspersed here. It's very herky-jerky tonight. I'm really sorry. Like I said, everything's messed up because of me.
What are you sorry for? We just talked to Jerron Harris.
That's true.
We just talked to Wayne Larrivee.
We did. But I want to talk some nitty-gritty, you know? I want to talk some football.
Okay.
I want to talk some Packers here. I want to get you riled up is what I want to do.
I'm not riled up.
You've been in, like, tech land too long. We got to get you talking football.
No, I did it. If anybody wants to see the Corey rant, I made a video, and we'll look at it after the break.
I know.
Most people have seen it, but maybe some people haven't
seen it
yet.
Joining us late. Hey, why don't you play your favorite video?
Oh, no. I don't know if we want to do that. Isn't that for segment three?
Yeah, you're right. See, look at me trying to get us off script now.
I will play it.
Oh, there it is! No!
I'm not a traitor. Never will be. I'm not a traitor. Never will be.
That's exciting.
I'm not a traitor. Oh. Never will be.
Let me just say this. While that was going on, all he was thinking was, I cannot wait till next year when I'm a Viking. And anyone who says differently is just, I'm sorry, ignorant, absurd, or a moron. I'm sorry.
Well, now.
I'm sorry. Give the whole thing. Please. The guy's been trying to get out of Green Bay since he demanded a trade after Thompson failed to get Randy Moss. And I'm just so over all of it.
Okay.
My post today notwithstanding.
You know what makes me happy, though?
What's that?
Nick Barnett.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty fantastic.
I like to hit him. Hell yeah, I like to hit him. All these damn practices out here and they didn't let us hit him. I want to get a nice little shot on you, Brett. I said it. Put it on the bulletin board.
Yeah, I put it on the bulletin board.
Hell yeah, I like to hit him.
Hell yeah, I like to hit him.
Yeah, we got it on loop, Nick.
Hell yeah, I like to hit him, Nick. Come on, Nick.
I said it. Put it on the bulletin board.
I put it on the bulletin board, Nick. Come on, Nick.
Oh, goodness.
Now, that doesn't get you riled up.
No, that should get you riled
up. I put it on the bulletin board.
Yes, you did. The video bulletin board.
Oh,
that's great.
That was fun. Has everyone seen this, though?
I think if you're true Packer fans, you understand.
Hmm.
Will it be different? Sure it will. Is it odd? The way that it's unfolded? Absolutely. But if you're a true fan,
Is right.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Oh my god. My wife had to go hide the kids last night because I was so mad when he said that.
Okay. Don't tell me what to do, Brett.
Brent.
Don't tell me what a true Green Bay Packer fan is.
Oh my goodness.
I was born in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
This hillbilly is gonna come up, tell us what's a true Green Bay Packer. Are you kidding me? All right, now you're getting me upset. Brett, it takes more than throwing to high school kids. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm
going
to say.
And you know that's not all you're going to say.
No, you're right.
What's going on the live blog? Is Brian holding it down?
No, Brian's doing great. He just put up a poll. Does anyone here understand?
and what
71% say no.
But they're here anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, of course they're here. No one understands, but we're all here. Oh, Andrew in Atlanta, don't get me started with the story about the daughter. You will notice, okay, the blog is read a bit more than this show is viewed. So
really?
I'm going to go there right now. Okay, I would never put this on the blog, but I'm going to say it right now. That was such a bullshit move. That was so manipulative. He so did that on purpose. To try and soften some hearts, try and fluff up his image. When he did that, I just lost. Minuscule piece of respect I had left for him was gone.
The man has been in the media a long time. And when you get in the media a long time, you get smart. And you know. Look, did you notice before that question about Packer fans?
Yeah.
I think it was Pelissero's question.
Right.
And,
I know. Did
he,
you
like,
see?
Wave to Pelissero.
I was gonna say. Did you see? But
he's
Brett
like,
gave
"Oh,
him a little,
hey, Tom, I know you."
Brett gave him a little like, "What's up?"
He did.
What's
he
up,
did.
Green Bay?
Because I think that was his question before that. So, yeah, he knows the media. He knows that they're just looking for articles to write. And you know what? There's tons and tons of blogs that wrote about him and his daughter. I'm sure in Minnesota.
But let's not talk about
it. It's kind of hard. It happened yesterday.
I know. Okay? So it's like very fresh.
Okay, I'm
We're
sorry.
All jazzed up.
I'm sorry, but. As of 2 days ago, I thought I was right, and I thought he was a good person. And now I realize that he doesn't care that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people allowed him to make tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And the only thing that he didn't have to do is not eat the frickin' apple of the Minnesota Vikings or the Chicago Bears.
True that.
Okay. So
thanks,
if Packer
Holly.
Fans are God, which they are, and Brett Favre is Eve.
I went all Joseph Campbell on the blog today, and you just went all biblical.
Yeah, I like that.